That's truth.
And my heart will be the pathway. I'm searching for a love that's evermore.
Spread my wings, that was true, Ben. Welcome to 2018. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited. The Soul Savvy Show with EB, Eric M. Black, and Q. Lynn Green. Okay, finally we have a connection there. Wow, wow, wow. EB.
Yes, sir.
All right, okay. All right. Well, welcome, and I understand, hey, sorry for the technical difficulties, but hey, this is live radio, and this is 2018, so we're not going to be stopped. Let's do this thing.
Yes, let's do this. First, we're going to introduce our guest. He's from a popular 90s R&B group, the treasures of the 90s, I feel, this group. One of the lead vocalists. They have hit songs like Spread My Wings, song we played earlier, All I Do, all kind of hit records. So we just going to get right to it. And it's just singer, songwriter, John Harrell. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
Doing good.
Doing all right. We're going to get right to it. I'm going to have my questions, and my co-host, EB, I believe he has his as well. We have it lined up, and we'll get these out the way. Thank you so much for coming on the Soul Savvy Show. Our first guest of the new year, so... just thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll start off my first question. I know your child. I know you've been singing all your life since you were a kid, and getting into the group. I just want to fast forward to how you joined the group. In terms of I know you got your singing experience from church. But how was it transitioning from just singing locally in where you live to, you know, being a national artist? How was that transition for you as a singer?
It was pretty much nothing, because, you know, R&B has always been inside of the home, you know, since I was a kid. You know, we just so happened just to sing gospel, but I was always singing R&B songs. R&B music was always flowing around the house, always. So it was pretty much a simple transition. It was pretty much nothing. It was really just me being inspired by a friend of mine who actually sang that I didn't know that could sing, that actually ended up being like the lead singer of the group, Stephen Russell. So we were friends, and I didn't know that he could sing at the time. It was, you know, it was early in our lives. He didn't know that I can sing. I didn't know that he can sing. We were just dancers together from the Boys and Girls Club. And he was letting me know about how he had hooked up with Rodney and how he auditioned the trial to be in the group and told me to go ahead and talk to Rodney. And pretty much the rest is history. And we, you know, getting ready to celebrate 30 years. So, you know, it was pretty much a breeze. You know, in the beginning was always, we had our beginnings when it was always a six-person. Rodney's mom always had at least like six people just in case if somebody got sick. And so when I was available to become the sixth member at the time, you know, not only that I was like a sixth member, but I was one of the guys that actually, I was teaching harmony parts and making sure that everybody was on their notes. That was my thing as far as from singing with my family and singing in choirs and stuff at church and everything. I knew harmony. So it was really a breeze of being able to get with the guys to teach them harmony notes and stuff like that, and pretty much that's how I became a part of the group.
Wow, and that kind of follows along with the next question I had with getting into the studio. Did that transfer over to you teaching them harmonies and stuff, or did
we pretty much had it at that time. So when we were working with, you know, people like, you know, LaVert, and you know, they would go ahead and just give us the basis of what the notes was, and we would just go in there and sing the notes, and that was pretty much it, you know, as far as like working with producers and, you know, with Brown Mark and working with Babyface and working with Chucky Booker, you know, they were the ones who they gave us notes, and we just sang the notes, and that's just what it was.
Wow, and that first album, what was easier? Was it, I guess, you said it wasn't no issue, like, learning the notes and stuff like that, but who was the one that you think the producer that pushed you the most in the studio?
Brown Mark.
In terms of Babyface?
Brown Mark, because Brown Mark is from the Revolution, okay. You know, Revolutionist Prince's band, so...
Right, guys,
out of Minneapolis, they did not play around when it came to instrumentation of music and harmony notes and everything. You know, they came, it just, you know, it was just incredible on how, what we learned from them. You know, it was incredible learning from Brown Mark and everything what he taught us. And we just took it and, you know, and pretty much just ran with it with ourselves to do what we do. And as far as like getting, you know, working with Chucky, and Chucky was another one of those type of, instrumentation producers, type songwriter, harmony vocalizer, that type of guy. He was just incredible. So learning a lot from him was really, you know, amazing. You got to consider the fact that Chucky was only 19 years old when he produced our song, My Heart.
Wow.
That's what you call a musical genius, even at the age of 19. He was incredible, you know, playing every instrument that he did, you know, playing guitar, playing bass, playing keys, playing drums. I mean, he's a beast. So he was incredible.
Yeah, so hella underrated as a producer. He's one of my favorites of all time. I think that whole New Jack Swing era, he's like one of the in terms of that sound, I think he's the main guy, I think, during that time period.
I would say... Chucky wasn't so much as like New Jack Swing sound. He was more of a musician. Like, he's like a Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis all rolled up into one. Those are what you call like true musicians. Like, they could play pretty much any instrument that you throw at them. You know, that's, it was at one time we were sitting down and we had a meeting. It wasn't a meeting. We were just hanging out, and this is when Chucky was first coming into the music industry as an artist, and he was sitting down and he was telling us all kinds of stuff about how he had got a phone call from, you know, the man himself, Prince. Prince gave him a phone call to let him know how talented that he was as a producer songwriter. So that was for Prince to be able to call Chucky Booker. I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than that, you know, because, you know, as a musician, you know, Prince is, he's, you know, he's Prince, you know, he's...
Right.
He's a musical genius. That's why him and Stevie Wonder could never really get anything done together as musicians, because they was chasing each other around the studio playing all the instruments. So it was hard for them to finally, you know, to work, you know, because they know how to play everything. So they had a big ball of a time being in the studio. And so it's great to work with musicians like that. And we consider Chucky to be one of those kind of musicians like that.
Well, I was just meaning like that, like late 80s, like going into the early 90s, his chords, his piano chord arrangements, I mean in more of that sort of the blueprint of that sound that was happening, because that's when it all started. But yeah, I think my next one is, in terms of, I know your musical taste, it spans from, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, the legends and all that, but I wanted to know, how comfortable were you were in terms when y'all laid down a record, how was the recording process in terms of, was it just, did y'all go in one by one and cut a track, or was it all y'all together with those harmonies and recorded at one time? How was the recording process with those songs from the first two albums?
We actually kind of did it both ways. We would go in one by one. Sometimes we would go in like by twos or go in by threes, and we would just stack, you know, just stack vocals and just, you know.
Wow.
To have the certain sound of stacking vocals. But sometimes we, you know, we would do songs all together as a group. Sometimes we would go in one by one. And a lot of times we did it that way a lot, because we liked the sound that came from us from being able to just cut vocals like that.
Wow. And I want to skip to the New Jack City soundtrack. I know, how did y'all get involved with that, doing that record with LaVert, For the Love of Money? And I think Queen Latifah is on that record, I believe, as well. How did y'all come about getting that, being a part of that soundtrack?
It was a scary process in the beginning, because we sat down. We was in this small theater, and we heard, like, bits and pieces of what LaVert had did first. And what they did was kind of like, we didn't know what we were going to come up with. It took us a long time to come up with what we came up with. It took us a while because we were so, you know, we were so in awe of what we heard by, you know, Gerald, Mark, and Shaw, and it was incredible what they did. We were like, wow, what are we going to do? So it took us a minute, but, you know, we finally came up with it. And, you know, we thought that it was a pretty good situation, what we came up with. It started from Rodney and myself, and everybody else just joined in, and we just, you know, everything just started working.
I'm going to let my co-host ask you something. You go ahead, E.B.
Yeah, I just want to know, because I know on, I think it was your sophomore album, that's when you did the Jackson 5 All I Do remake, and then on Deepa, which is actually my favorite, you did the Deal remake of Sweet November. Yeah. Whose idea was it for you to remake these specific songs?
Well, for All I Do Is Think of You, it was my idea for us to redo that song.
Wow.
I thought that it was a great record, and I knew that when Steve would cut the second verse, I knew he was going to sing it exactly like Michael. His voice is a lot of remnants of Michael. And, you know, like I said, even in the beginning, because Steve liked Michael so much and the way that he sung, it kind of got me excited to wanting to go ahead and to become a singer and to, you know, and to be with him and to form this group that we, you know, that we had did, you know. But it was just a wonderful situation for us. And I knew that he had that sound, so I knew that it would work once we went on and we cut that record. I told him, I said, you need to go ahead and tell Sylvia, because he was having, you know, the relationship with Sylvia Rohn. I told him, I said, you need to let Sylvia know that we need to go ahead and redo this record. I said, if we redo this record, I said, it's going to be timeless for us. It's going to be incredible. And, you know, and it's exactly what
and
I
was true.
And it was true. Yeah. And for Sweet November, Steve had brought that song to us, and we liked it, and we just said, okay, let's go ahead and cut it. And what happened? That became a
new
record as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're both big records for you, and I know I never knew it was your idea to do the Jackson 5 remake, and you were absolutely right. I mean, it was Michael to a T, so...
Yeah.
Bravo. Thank you for that. That is a classic. And then the Sweet November, had you already worked with Babyface when you decided to do the remake or when you did the remake?
Well, no. You know what? We actually did because we were working on a choreography with Jeffrey Daniels and Casper.
Wow.
We were working on My Heart. See, that was the thing about you. Troop was the type of group where we knew that other groups were out there, they were doing their thing, but we wanted to just make a different kind of statement when it came to choreography, you know, which we work with choreographers, but we always like to do at least 85-90% of our choreography. And we get with choreographers like, you know, Barry Lather, which he helped us choreograph Mamacita. Barry Lather did Janet Jackson, Pleasure Principle, and Control on the awards. So he was the bad white guy with the poofy hair up top, and he was just really doing his thing. That's Barry Lather. Bad, cold-blooded white boy. Incredible. So he worked with Janet, and you had Casper, and you had Jeffrey Daniels that worked with Michael Jackson on Smooth Criminal and Bad. So there you have it. You know, the greatest performers really in entertainment. No one hits the stage as a female like the way that Janet does. No one hits the stage the way Michael does as a male entertainer. You know, it is what it is. They're the best at what they do. So we wanted to work with people who worked with them.
Man, that's amazing. I wanted to go back just a little bit when you mentioned the Gerald Levert. I know he's like just a creative genius. He's produced for so many people, wrote his own songs and all his, produced all his records. But what was it like being in the studio with him and Mark Gordon? I know he produced on y'all albums as well. What was it like working with them in terms of the creative process? What was it like?
It was great. It was really great. It really was. It was an awesome time. And you know, Gerald was so fun to be around because, you know, he loved to laugh, so he would always make us laugh. We would have a lot of fun, and he was just a real cool guy. Mark was the guy who was like, he was just kind of like business, and, you know, he was serious a lot, but he was a real cool dude to be with. So it was really fun and all to be able to work with them because they're very, very talented at what they do. I mean, the way that Gerald writes and the way that he sings, it's like, man, he sounds so much like his father. It's incredible.
Right.
And then with the way how he plays those keyboards, his sound that he you know, that he makes when he's playing, the sound that comes out of his fingers and how he plays the keyboards is just, it's incredible. It's really incredible.
And I know you mentioned a little bit earlier with Evie's question. I know that would seem like those years, the first two albums, that was like the pinnacle of Troop success. But what was it like in terms of, like you said, the different groups that were out? Did you understand, like, how, like, during that time period, did you understand, like, the competitiveness or the, like, how big that was during that period when y'all had y'all hit records on the charts? Did you feel that was it overwhelming feeling, or did y'all just do the records and it was just, you know, you just knocked it out and just went on to the next album? Like, how was that in terms of the success? Like, did y'all realize, like, how big that era was in terms of the late 80s and 90s, going into the early 90s? Did y'all understand, like, how big that was of y'all careers?
Yeah, we knew that it was really, you know, the era of music and who was out at the time. I mean, you know, you had people like Michael Jackson. You know, he was out with his Bad album. So it was, you know, with Michael being out, then everybody else had to be in tip-top shape of being, you know, an artist. You had to come out with really good material. Your material had to match at what was going on with Michael. It had to be just good. You know, it had to be good. It had to be real R&B. But we wanted to be one of those kind of groups to where when we come out, that we wanted our music to be just as good. So, we felt that every song that we recorded, we just did our homework. We just made sure that every song was a good record. We didn't want to just do, you know, three good singles on the album and that was it. But we wanted to go ahead and leave our mark on this planet of music to where at least when you play a Troop record, you're not going to skip. You're not going to skip to the next song. And you know, that's the way Michael did it. That's the way that other entertainers did it. The Temptations, New Edition, The Jacksons, Janet, Prince, I mean, you name it. Everybody was doing good music, and all of the music on every album, all of the songs, every song was really good. It wasn't about just doing just two or three good singles. Everybody was doing good albums. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to keep up and do what everybody else was doing, doing good music, good albums, good songs from track one to track eight, or, you know, from track one to track 13, or to track 1 to track 16, or to track 1 to track 22. Every song had to be just legit. That's what it was. And that's what we wanted to go ahead and bring, you know, to the world.
Wow. And I think I have just three more questions, and I'll be done. In terms of your song, I know you're a songwriter, and what's your creative process like with writing a song? Do you need music first to create, or does the lyrics just come to you? What's your songwriting process?
Sometimes it's both. Sometimes I hear stuff, you know. I get music in my dreams sometimes. Sometimes someone is playing a track, and I can hear where the hook should be. Sometimes I can hear exactly what the hook is. Depending on how the music is flowing. Sometimes it just comes.
Wow. And I know you have new music out. You still touring with Troop. And what is it like now in terms of how touring is now versus back then? What's the difference, do you think?
I think for artists from our genre, if the relationships are really good with everybody out there, as far as like promoters and everything, then the artists from our genre can actually really work. And there's a lot of artists that are out there that are pretty much, you know, they're leaving every weekend to go do some performance somewhere every weekend. I mean, so I think it's a good thing that, you know, music is back and people want to, like, really hear what's really good to them, because it brings back memories of how, when everything was good for them. So a lot of that is going on, especially during the summertime. That's going on really heavy. Everybody is working. Like, I think, like, February 9th, Keith Sweat and Charlie Wilson will be together again out here in L.A.
Right.
Yeah, we're performing here in L.A. February 2nd, along with Stokely from Nick Edition, Kenny Lattimore, and the group AY 2.0, Mark Nelson's new group. So we'll be doing a concert with them February 2nd here at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. February 2nd, showtime starts at 8, doors open at 7. So I think it's really good on what music is doing, and now we're from people from our genre, because we get to bring back those memories that people used to have when times were really good for them.
You go ahead, EB.
Let me ask you, John, because a lot of people don't know that you kind of made a little appearance into the acting world. You started with being an extra in Coming to America. Of course, Troop was in New Jack City. And then you actually did a play, Treat Her Like a Lady. Do you have any future plans for acting, or is it something that, you know, you like to dabble in every now and then?
Yeah, just every now and then. I'm supposed to be doing a play, I believe, sometime March in forgot what state, but there's talks about it right now. And I was supposed to be doing another play that's actually going to be out here in Los Angeles. So, yeah, just every now and then I start to dibble and dabble and, you know, doing plays. And I like to work also, like, behind the scenes, because they have, like, you know, they have background singers to help, you know, sing background for the artist who's singing a song on stage or whatever. They have that, so I like doing stuff like that as well, too.
Wow. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that you actually have an anticipated album coming out. Your debut solo project is called Chosen.
Yeah.
And you also have two single releases. I wanted to know, in terms of the totality of the project, conceptually, what is it that we're going to get that we know the Troop sound. What is it that we're going to get as John, a solo artist, versus when you were in the group? What conceptually, what kind of project are we getting musically?
Well, musically, it's you know, it's going to be heartfelt. It's you know, it's heartfelt. It's real R&B. It's soulful. It's a little bit of gospel, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of poetry. Pretty much the genres of music that I know a lot of our people are into. You know, a lot of people, they're into poetry. So there's a piece of poetry about my life in the beginning called Finally Arrived. And then, of course, it's going to open up with that the tribute to Luther Vandross, Never Too Much.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pretty good record.
Right. I could just sit and talk to you all day. I have so many other questions in terms of just your creativity. You write some incredible songs. Are you going to be writing? Is all the songs written by you on this album coming up?
They're co-written by me and some people.
Okay.
that I know of who I kind of grew up with, you know, here in Pasadena at the church that I go to. With, you know, doing songs together, writing songs together, producing songs. So it's pretty cool. It's different because I wasn't really like, I wasn't like a lead singer of Troop, so to speak. I wasn't like the main guy. You heard me, but then when you heard me, then that was it. It was off to either Alan or Steve. That's what you heard. But other than that, it's different, and it's mature, and, you know, and it's grown and sexy.
But there we go. Oh, go ahead, Ibby.
No, I wanted to ask, for the future, moving forward, if there was a collaboration that you could do with any artist, any producer today, who would you choose, and why would you choose that person?
I would choose to do a duet. I would love to do a couple of duets. I would love to do a duet with Fantasia, and I would love to do a duet with Johnny Gill. I love to do a duet with Johnny Gill. There's a lot of people call me the West Coast Johnny Gill, so I think that's really cool for our voices to be able to come together and kind of like do something. I mean, you know, there's talks. When he was on tour with Fantasia and Charlie Wilson, we got a chance to talk a little bit about it, and I talked to him about it. I said, hey, man, I think we need to go ahead and give these people what they really want. They want a Johnny Gill and a John John record. I think it would be really, really cool. His words were, he said, you know, well, let's see what we can do, man. Let's work something out. That's what he said. So, you know, all I can say is that we'll see. I'd love for you guys to pray about it and see what God can, you know, make it happen out of that.
And now definitely. You said that, I can actually hear that record happening because I can, like, you have a unique voice, and we all know Johnny Gill's voice, and just hearing those sounds together, I would love to hear what that sound like. You now I'm anticipating it now, a record. We're going to put that in the universe somewhere, the Johnny Gill and John John get a record together and make it happen.
Really, really cool. That would be really, really cool.
Right. And I think I keep saying this is my last question. This is what happens with me. I got ADD, so it just keeps, stuff keeps popping in my head. This is my last one. This is my last one, I swear. Okay. Who are your Mount Rushmores of music? Like your four, it could be a band or whoever, or artists. It doesn't matter, but the four recording artists or whoever is your pinnacle, your four Mount Rushmores of music that you feel it begins and ends with them in terms of vocals, in terms of everything in totality of what you're supposed to be as a singer or whatever your musicality taste is, but who's your four Mount Rushmores of music?
I kind of basically always say this to people. If it hadn't been for Temptations, wouldn't be the Jacksons. Wasn't for the Jacksons, wouldn't be New Edition. Wouldn't be for New Edition, wouldn't be Troop.
Right. Oh man. What's? Give me three more.
We can add them as they could be
a one. Give me three more.
For the other people, I do love Four Cindy's and I love Boys to Men.
Okay.
And I'm going to pretty much end it right there only because those groups that I just named were the ones who did choreography. They danced.
Yeah.
They entertained people. They gave you a show. And you have other entertainers that just get on stage and they just rock side to side. They sing their song and they rock side to side, and that's really pretty much it.
And y'all's videos were classes because that's what stood out the most was y'all choreography. How long did it? How long were y'all in the dance studio going over those moves? Like, how long did it take y'all to execute all those moves in a day?
We got together and we just rehearsed 5 days a week. Period. That's just what it was. Five days a week.
Hey.
Rodney's mother did not play. When she would leave to go to the store to go get us some food or whatever, she would always say, when I get back, I want a step done. Period.
Wow.
I want a step done. So whatever song we were working on, when she came back, we had a step done. That's just the way that she worked. That's the way that she rolled. And you had to be just like that. She didn't play. Well, that's what she asked of us, and that's what we gave.
Man, so what I'm getting from this is that you just, in terms of everything you said, in terms of the musicality of your songwriting and your natural dance moves, that y'all just disciplined, and it was just a natural God-given talent is what I'm getting in it.
Yeah.
It's just, wow, that's crazy. You know how, like, kids today, like how, I mean, not to bash anybody from this generation, but do you realize that none of that is implemented now in today's music world? So everything you're saying, you're just saying it casually, like we just, like, having dinner, like, oh, yeah, I did this. Like, that's a big deal. Like, it's going to be people listening to them don't have, like, one-tenth of that work ethic. And you're just like, oh, yeah, we had to do this, but... I get it, but yeah, thank you so much for coming on. We had this such a great conversation. I know we should be looking for your anticipated solo album, Chosen, and you have two singles that's out now. What else do you have in store for us in terms of your brand?
I just want to just keep doing good music. That's really it. I just want to do good music for the people to love, to listen to, and to make love to, I mean, to dance to, you know, to chill out with, to drive with, to clean their house with, to have fun with. I just want to be remembered for doing really good music.
This whole conversation blew me away because you're just like casually saying, oh yeah, it just comes, you just basically saying it comes to you naturally and it's just a talent because it's like the work ethic today. Man, I'm just in awe of, you know, all these stories that you're telling, because it's, like, so different from now. And what would be something, a critique, if you could make a critique, what would you like to see more in the music industry now?
I would like for the love in music to come back.
Right.
You know, just, you know, the storytelling of how songs are, you know, the actual, like, people went to work when it came to working on songs. They just didn't do anything. They gave you something with substance. So I would love to see that change back into that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show. What's your social media where we can find you on there?
Well, you guys can go ahead and reach me on Facebook on John John Harold, John John Solo Project. Finally, We Love Troop, Total Respect of Other People, John John of Troop at yahoo.com. That's my email address. Just, you know, get at me.
Man, y'all give it up right now to a band that's a part of musical historic group to me, a group you can look back on, and if you go back in history, you can pinpoint Troop as that group. Just excellent all the way around in terms of lyrics and instrumentation, everything about it. Great collective of producers on each album. So thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
And thank you guys for having me.
There we go. We got the claps going for you. Thank you, Will, for that.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, DB. Thank you, guys.
Y'all give it up. Y'all give it up to a legend right now, John John Harold from the fabulous group Truth. Once again. And what we're going to do right now, thank you so much, Will, for these claps. I appreciate that, Will. We gotta keep these claps going. What we're gonna do right now, we're actually giving appreciation to two artists. Their birthdays were yesterday. It's a happy belated to Mary J. Blige, the legend, and also another legend, Rahsaan Patterson in his own right. What we're gonna do right now, we're gonna go to break, and I believe we got some Mary J. Hit y'all with these Mary J. hits real quick and give reverence to a legend. So Will, if you want to, we can go to break.
Oh my goodness. How good is that? Oh, Mary G. Man. Blige. Oh, E.B.
Mary J. Blige.
Oh, that was a jam. That was
yeah, that was that last one. That was Rodney Jerkins' production with that DeBarge sample, man. That,
yes, sir.
Mary's my favorite. That's my favorite of all time. I tell people that all the time. So
that's Evie's girl all day. That's music, that's my auntie.
I can dig it. Yeah, I can dig it. Hey, we kicked it off with My Love, and then we did Share My World.
Yeah, that was the joint.
Wow.
I was over there I was grooving the whole time. I had to put myself on mute because I was over here jamming. I was singing a whole.
I had to do the
low notes because my voice is still in remission. So
that's all right. I did the high notes, but I sounded horrible.
I was trying to hit the high ones, but I'm like, no. Jesus make you want to go there, J. Black.
You do.
Happy New Year, people. We back.
That's right.
First
Happy New Year.
2018.
Happy New Year.
I was telling EB the other day. I was like, man, it was actually our first time talking since the New Year. Because I know I've been.
Yeah.
My New Year didn't start till January 4th, 2018. So I didn't know what was going on. And like I said, I thought my New Year was going to start off right, but my immune system was like, oh, you thought it was going to start out right, but it was like, no.
You guys have been gone for six.
Kind of
you guys have been gone for 6 weeks.
We've been, right, I don't think it's been that, it ain't been that long, Will.
No, I
miss. We've been gone for like 3 weeks.
No.
It's
been longer. I miss you guys, man. No, seriously, it's been longer. It's been
long. I was like, I know I was really missing y'all last week, but I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make Friday, because I was like, my stomach was doing the Harlem Shake, all the dances, it was doing everything. I was like, I don't know what's happening with me right now. But yeah, we back 2018. We just trying to get through it. We got a bunch of new stuff we got happening for y'all. We trying to get done this show. We'll get done next week. I got some great stuff. I got some tricks in my bag. We got one of these tricks I'm about to bring out. And you know what? We're going to start this off right. We'll get to the Savvy Update so we can get to this special segment that I added. And y'all thought I was joking. I was actually being serious. You know what? Will got rehired back on the show. You know, he's been doing good. You know, put the Pinot Grigio down. You know, we had, you know, he's been on. Yeah, they go with the clap. You know. He's been on probation for some months now, and I was thinking of this, I think, a couple months ago. But then, you know, sometimes he would come back out and show out, you know, playing Michael Jackson and stuff like that while we're trying to conclude with the show, you know, stuff like that. So I helped. Every time I was about to bring it out, he didn't mess it up. So he's been doing good, though. So I think we got all our stuff out of the system, the MJ versus Prince, the last show, and then the Patty versus Aretha. I think I'm done with it. I want to ask EB when we get
Yeah, because Aretha is the number one artist.
Already hyped up about it. We should get right to the update.
That's right, and we're not done.
Get there, I wanted to know what y'all had going on real quick. I want to know, before we get that, because I know the pot is boiling on that, because I have some beefs with both of y'all on that. Or we gonna settle it for the new year, and then we gonna get over it. But I want to know, we like Will's been saying, we've been gone for a while. So I want to know how.
Yeah, 6 weeks. You've been gone for 6 weeks.
What did y'all have going on?
Wow, EB.
What did y'all have going on?
Kick it out. Kick it off, EB.
No, I'm saying I had a great Christmas, great New Year. I chilled. I was here in Brooklyn. I spent it with my friends. My family's in South Carolina, of course, so I didn't go home, but I spent it with my friends. It's been beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
So nice. Did you have Christmas at your house, or did you have
actually,
any relatives come over, open presents or something?
I actually did a Christmas Eve dinner, so I cooked and I invited a few friends over, and we drank, and of course listened to good R&B music and sang and ate and drank some more. So that was all I did for Christmas.
What'd you cook? What were you cooking up?
Oh, man. What did I cook? I had some fried chicken. I had stuffed pork chops. I had some turnip greens, some macaroni and cheese, some dirty rice. I had some rolls. And I also had some apple pie.
Some apple pie. You made that all from scratch?
Everything but the apple pie. My friend Ashley brought the apple pie, but everything else I made from scratch.
Okay.
Y'all know I'm a whiz in the kitchen, so.
What?
Your mac and cheese. I think I saw one in IG or something. It looked good.
Yeah. I throw down.
Man, I couldn't have none of that. I can't have none of that now. The dairy product doctor over here ruining everything edible that I like. So I'm like, what did you do, Will? Were you on the show concluding with Studio W Buzz? And
yes.
What you
oh, my
you
God.
Had, you know, Grigio Kraken. What'd you have Kraken for?
You know what? That was
what'd you do for New Year's, EB? That's what I forgot. What'd you do for New Year's?
Okay.
Did you do the same thing or was it different?
New Year's was pretty much the same. I spent it alone. I was in my house. I got, of course, a bottle of Bullet whiskey. And
that's your favorite drink.
That is it.
Every time you mention a drink, it's always that Bullet. I'm like, let me go look this up at the store or something and see what it is.
Y'all know my personal motto is brown, pour it. So Bullet is the one.
Well, what did you do for Christmas and New Year's?
Oh, you know, I don't want to be a downer. I really don't. And that's why I didn't tell anybody anything, right? I got sick just before Christmas. And out here in California.
You and me both.
Oh.
So we both going to be Debbie Downers as soon as Christmas concluded, the 26th, the 27th, and then the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Yep, keep going.
Little bit past that week, I wasn't feeling good, so we right in the same boat.
And so I didn't want to be a downer. I really don't. So I didn't call anybody. I didn't tell anybody anything. I didn't put up a Christmas tree, which I don't. I don't put up lights, you know, all around the house because I figure like this, hell. Then afterwards, I ain't got to take that shit down. You know what I mean? And so I didn't even bother about that. Right?
You're like, I ain't put none of this.
No.
Like, it ain't no point.
And I
want people to keep their Christmas trees up till February.
Yeah, you know. You can go, you know, you can go. You know, you have more people to buy Christmas trees that than vote, and we'll talk about that too. I tell you what, when we get to
see, that's going to transition well. I feel like you've got all this energy pumped up, and that's why.
Not yet.
To the people, if you didn't know, we got a new segment. We getting ready to. As soon as we conclude with the update, we like I told y'all, I hired Will back. He's been acting right, so. He got his own segment, his own personal segment, to where he can get everything, his Pinot Grigio feelings on the president, this current administration, and anything political. He called it, as soon as we get ready to go to break, we'll tell you the name of it, but we'll have a new political segment.
Wait,
as soon as we conclude the break, I'll let y'all know what the name of it is.
No.
We'll,
hold it. You have to give
we'll
me
know.
Now, wait a minute, hold it. You know, we've been, this has been fantastic, right? It's impromptu, and, Q-Lynn and I, before the show, we had, planned this all out. We said, okay, we got this music going on. And I mean, we don't, Q-Lynn, one thing I have to say about you, Q-Lynn, you don't do things impromptu. You plan for your shows, you know, and you do everything you can. So I want to thank you so much, because, oh my God, I have, somebody bring me a tissue. Because your show it is outrageous. You and EB, I have to say, I just love you guys. I can't wait until, Friday night at, your time, wherever we are. We're 5 o'clock here on the West Coast. 8 o'clock East Coast. EB, you in New York, right? Man, thank God, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
no problem. I just knew you needed a segment to where you could get your Pinot Grigio feelings together, and I feel like your own segment for the new year would be perfect, and we get everything together, get the music together. I'm like, he needs his own segment.
This is incredible.
To your heart. Is 45. I'm like, let me get his whole segment of 45. And yeah, it's been a whole lot of stuff, updates on him. I think this yesterday I heard something about that. I guess we'll get to that when we get to Will's segment, but what are we going to do? I didn't do nothing. Like I said, on Christmas, I was celebrated with my dad's side of the family. It was pretty good. It was pretty decent. All I did was play. I was like the DJ, quote marks on that, air quotes, because I'm not a DJ, but I was just playing music the whole time because I was bored, and they were watching sports and stuff like that. I guess there was some interesting games on, but I've kind of lost my little passion for sports. So I don't really care to watch it anymore, but that's all they were watching. That's all they do is just watch sports and eat food, and all the food was gone when I got there. So I was like, let me just play this music, and then it was some other stuff happening there. It was like relatives like telling my business, like, you know, put my little personal information out there. I'm like, what are you doing? And then everybody started asking me questions, asking me, do I have a boyfriend? And I'm like, where did this come from? I'm trying to play some Commodores and stuff and some Rick James and all that. I'm like, I'm just trying to chill. Y'all are asking me personal information. But then one of my assistants came in, and the conversation diverted to her. I was like, thank God. So somebody can take the heat off me, because y'all in my business. But that was it. It was pretty fun. And then New Year's, like I said, I thought that following Friday was New Year's, so I was all over the place. So I was all kind of medicated and trying to, you know, all kind of medical stuff going on. So yeah, I guess it was pretty good. How y'all New Year's was fine. Y'all get we get right to the savvy updates. I want to get this out the way now, and we can get to this before I ask. Before we get to the updates, but what was that last show? I felt like I was getting double teamed. Like, I didn't know where that came from. Cause y'all, first EB with the Patty versus Aretha, I felt like you was Googling and you had your little Wikipedia list out when we came back from all those song selections. Cause you just was like, okay, let's see who got the best song. And then you come like, Aretha got 45 compilation albums and all. What was all that? Where did that come from? I know you don't just have randomly the information in your mental Rolodex. Don't tell me that. Where did that come from? Stop
when
it.
So Aretha, Mary, Shaka, Anita Baker, Erykah Badu, Frankie Beverly, or Luther Vandross, I'll be ready. I'll be like, no. Because I know they are the best of the best.
You making up stuff, because I don't believe you. You making up stuff. Because you just came out of nowhere. I wasn't even trying to go that route. I was just talking about, when we talk about replay, I need to be specific with that, replay value of music catalog. Are you honestly listening to, you replay more of Aretha songs than Patty?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do. I mean, now that's not to take anything away from Patty, because Patty has hit. But I think if you were to look at what I listen to on a daily basis, I listen to Aretha every day, every single day. Not a day goes by I don't listen to something Aretha. And being that I'm as young as I am and I didn't grow up with Aretha, meaning I wasn't around while she was still, when she started producing hits, I was around while she was producing, but not when she started. I'm still discovering new Aretha Franklin. Like, just the other day, and it's like I own all this music. It's on my iPod. It's on my phone. And I had it on shuffle, and this song comes on that I've never heard before. And it almost moved me to tears. It was that beautiful by Aretha Franklin. So I absolutely listen to more Aretha than I do Patty.
Okay, if you say you do, then I'm gonna go with that. I just needed an honest opinion. Do you? And then I'm gonna ask this, because I might slip up sometimes when other guests come on, when we do the What's Wrong With You Gang. Just for this, so we can clear it up. Do you or do you not want to keep the Patty versus Aretha in this thing? Because I'll exit. I told you.
You know what?
Shaka gave her thing.
I want to keep it in there because I do like seeing where people's heads are at, and I love the reasoning behind why you choose who you choose. So I definitely want to keep that in there.
Okay, we keep it in there. Okay, for 2018. So I retired it, but I really didn't retire, because every guest has been on. I've still been asking it after I said I was going to take it out. So okay, we'll keep it in there. I was thinking about actually taking somebody out versus, like, you know, like mix it up with that. But then I was like, no, this one is too good. Like,
yeah, no.
I feel like I was thinking about putting Shaka in there versus, because it's still All Day. I'll pick Shaka over that anyway, over Aretha, because we play more of her songs than Aretha's, but we'll keep that. We keep Patty. Okay, we're keeping Patty versus Aretha. Okay, now this next one for Will. Okay, there's some terms and conditions to this segment. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to read some of these emails. Okay, I'm just going to read these two because we don't have enough time because we're running out of time.
We have an extra 20 minutes.
Right. No, I'm just saying in general, I want to spend specific time on certain things. So I'm just saying I want to, thank y'all. I forgot to address everybody. Thank you all that send emails, that send me texts and comments, everything from social media, wherever. And somebody actually, we in savvy updates now, so I can say this. Maybe it was actually somebody, they were listing off like it was people that were asking their followers who were the best podcasts to them or who they listened to consistently. And it was a couple people that mentioned us with a group of podcasts. I think one was, I saw in there, the one I recognized was Reagan Gomez's, the actress. You know that is. She has a podcast called Reaganomics. They mentioned her show, and then there was some other shows. Sorry to those that were in there. I can't remember the names of them, but thank you to that person that listened to the show. They said that those shows that he listed said they were informative and that he loves listening to the perspectives of those. And he said our show was informative and he loved it. So shout out to that person that put us listed in their favorite 2017 podcast. I thought that was dope when I read that tweet. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, shout out to, I think his name was @MeVersusTheWorld. I think that's what his Twitter name is. But shout out to him for putting us in there.
Shout out to you for that. That's amazing.
You're actually giving me perspective on, when you give us comments and you give us feedback on the show, it actually gives me into your viewpoint on what we're doing. Because most of the time I just think I'd be talking stupid most of the time because I don't be know what I'd be saying half the time. So the fact y'all think that's enjoyable, y'all think me and EB are hilarious. They actually enjoyed that portion of Patty versus Aretha. They thought that was hilarious. And I thought that completely threw me off guard because I was going to go to the appreciation of, the great artist. And he like, okay, let's do this. But then he come with this whole list. I was like, is he serious right now? I put the GIF up there of Kermit the Frog. I'm like, he's sitting there on the computer like this, just going crazy, looking up those Wikipedia lists. And I'm like, he's not. But he claimed he got it all in his head, so I'm going to take his word for it. But I can't believe he memorizes that. I can't even memorize my drink order or my food order like that. You've got all the information in there.
Hey, I'm a simple man, bullet and bourbon.
Okay. Kulin, I have to say this to you. You are infectious. Yesterday, through negotiations, and I ended up saving myself $1,000. And I ended up telling the lady, I says, now you're talking right. I said, damn, I'm sounding like Kulin. You're talking right.
Oh, shoot. We're going to get these catchphrases. Once we get a really big, like, popular following, and I'm
going
to make these catchphrases where we can get in on these merchandising coins.
I swear to God.
We're going to get all these catchphrases. We're going to get EB's turn this up. We're going to get that on a t-shirt. And we're going to get...
You're talking right.
We're going to get all these... Hey, we're going to get all these old Savage radio quotes.
It's copyrighted. Right. It's copyrighted.
I don't know where that comes from. I just randomly say it when I hear something good. I just like, you're talking right.
Y'all
getting that good old country Oklahoma... wordage
Kulin,
yeah.
I swear to God, I was in the Cadillac dealership and the girl, it came back $1,000 in my favor. I said, you know what, now you're talking right. And I just started busting up because I was thinking about
Kulin. We'll get that spread everywhere. We'll get the turn this up t-shirts popping. Ain't we talking right?
Q-Lin, you talking right, Q-Lin. I'm telling you, it's a winner. You talking right.
Listen, me and EB, we got quotes, man. We gonna get them on t-shirts. As soon as we get these
right.
Get y'all great listeners involved and, get y'all you know, interacting with us, and when we get the following of the way we need it to be, where we get these merchandise popping out here, we getting these turn these up t-shirts from EB, and we getting these you talking right t-shirts.
That's exactly right. And Q-Lit, I want these weasels. I want these weasels who like to steal stuff, steal quotes, and no stuff like that. See. As a matter of fact, as far as the copyright laws are concerned, if you broadcast it on radio, you had just copyrighted it. And so what is today's date? What is today's date? January 12th. We have just copyrighted on air. What is it we want to do? Okay. Talking right t-shirts.
Yeah, we got to get it right too, you know. We gotta get them up. But yeah, we gonna conclude with the update, because I'm gonna explain something. I'm gonna explain Will Sexton.
You have to understand. Yeah, that's right. Because we have to protect our money. That's part of my rage.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway,
we're gonna get your rage in a second. But right now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna finish these two questions from the listeners, and we're gonna go to break.
Okay.
We need you to save your energy, Will. Save your energy for your segment.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. These two questions from two listeners. Like I said, thank you all for sending all these great questions and giving us feedback. And one of them actually sent a question to me and EB, and it asked, what is it that we don't know about each other, and what is it that we like to know about each other? Thank you for that question. That's an excellent question. The question, once again, it says, they ask, what is it that we don't know, what me and EB don't know about each other, and what is it that we would like to know about each other? It's a great question. Thank you.
That's a great question.
It's anonymous. They didn't want me to say. They specifically said in the email, don't say my name, but thank you to that person that sent the question. Go ahead, EB.
Man, that's a good question. I feel like I know a lot about Q-Lin, but for everything I feel I know about her, I feel that there are two or three things that I don't know about her. So, I guess this isn't something that I would like to know about her, but I really, really want to go to a gig where Q-Lin is playing. I really want to see her in her element, doing her thing. I love when musicians are in their element, and it's for somebody like Q-Lin, who I know and who I connected with over our love of music, I feel like seeing her in that space, you know, doing her thing, would be almost orgasmic.
Oh, wow. What is it you know about me, you think? In terms of, they didn't specify if they meant personality. I'm thinking they mean it personality wise. What is it we know about it or something? I'm just gonna throw that out there. I guess personality, because I don't know what they mean.
I know that Q-Lin, you could be talking to Q-Lin 1 second about Q-tips, and the next second you're gonna be talking to her about flannel shirts. Q-Lin's mind moves at like 3 million miles per hour, and you gotta keep up. Like, I think the first couple times I spoke to Q-Lin, she was losing me. Like, she was like three conversations ahead, and I felt like I was stupid. Like, I was still in the back. I was like, wait a minute, we were just talking about Aretha, and now she's talking about French fries, and I'm trying to figure out the connection, but it works. Like, her mind moves at a million miles per minute. I know that about Q-Lin.
Yep, you're right. That's how I got fired the first time.
No, you got fired because you weren't paying attention and you was drinking that Pinot Grigio. That's what we're going to keep it honest on this show. Because you were not paying attention at all during those segments that we had with interview guests on. You were not paying attention.
As a matter of fact, my segment, Savinish Showdown. Okay. Sponsored by Pinot Grigio.
Hilarious. Yeah, we do need to get some alcohol sponsorship because everybody likes to drink on this show. But I think with EB,
Savvy Report. I understand that. 6 minutes of rage coming up.
Yeah. Well, no, I gotta ask, they asked me a question. I'll answer the listeners' question, this one and then the next one, and then we go to break. But hold on just a second. Dang, we're ready for it. We going to get your 6 minutes of Pinot Grigio rants off. If you hold on, just like give me 2 minutes so I can finish my thought process. I was trying to think, if you let me think for a second, because I was still trying to think of that question, trying to, you know, what they asked. So hold on just a second. Well, I'm almost done. Give me like 2 minutes and I'll be done. What I know about EB, I think from the very start, I can say that he was intentional in terms of his time. Like, if he gives his time, I feel like if he says he's going to do something, I'm pretty sure he's going to do it. And then if he's not sure, he'll say he's not sure. And he won't be like, oh, like, you know, like if it's something important, he would wait till last minute. But if it's something like important, he'll let me know beforehand. And I think he seems like very sure. Like, I just listened to his tone inflections and what he cares about, and like the way he talks about music, he's like real passionate like I am. And he'll, the way he delves into the music, I'm like, yo, like I can like see myself reflected through him, because he talks about music the same way I do. I think he gets bored easily, because sometimes, like you said, when I was talking to him, I feel like he'd be getting bored, because he'll be like, I'm like, oh shit, let me stop talking so much, because he getting bored. I can see him checking out of the conversation. And he is 100% right about my mind going a million miles per hour, because I'm always thinking of stuff. I'm always trying to be ahead of stuff and trying to make sure I get everything off my head. And so all my ideas on the show, I try to make it all come together, but sometimes that's why I gotta write stuff down, because if I just go off the top of my head, it you sound like somebody rambling for like 30 minutes or whatever. But if I write it down, it makes sense. But if I'm just talking, I just keep going, and then I'll think of something. It'll be something that come up in my head, and I'll start saying it. Because we'll be talking about Aretha Franklin, and I'll start thinking about Chaka Khan or something. It'll pop in my head, and I'll say, but he's 100% right on that. But I think something I would want to know about him more, I guess just personally, but I want to know that off air. I wouldn't want to ask him like personal questions. He seems private. I think that's another similarity we have. We're like both very private, but is this more so of like the people involved with the stories? It's more so like I wouldn't mind like expressing it, but it's like people involved with the story, so I don't like telling it unless I get like, you know, permission from them to say it. But right. He seems private, and I would want to know more about his personal life, but I would ask him that off air more so than, you know, asking him on, you know, unless he like volunteers information. I've learned a little bits and pieces about him, but not like in totality in terms of our story. So
that's because you're nosy.
I was really trying to have a deep moment, and y'all was like,
I was with you.
Right.
Okay.
I wasn't asking that like I want to. See, y'all getting perverted. Y'all had dirty minds, because I wasn't even thinking like that. I get what y'all was thinking now. I wasn't even trying to think like that.
Look, I didn't say anything.
Y'all both.
Nobody said anything but you. Oh my God!
Dirty mind, no, because I wasn't saying it like I was.
Yeah. Okay.
Sexually.
Have you ever listened?
Y'all thinking like that.
Nobody's thinking.
It's probably a few listeners that thought that too. That's why y'all was laughing. Cause I wasn't thinking like that. I was saying like his personal, triumph. That's what I want to know.
No.
Justified on this show, cause y'all think I'm, no. y'all think I'm a heathen 24/7.
Yeah,
so
well,
I gotta
justify
my words.
That's probably true. But Kulin, that's not the point. No. Nobody was thinking that. I'm just thinking, and if you heard what I said, no, you're doing this because you're just nosy. Nobody said anything about
any
perversion.
I'm not nosy.
You are nosy because you're nosy because you're a journalist. All journalists are nosy,
so
you can't have it both ways.
I'm not nosy. I'm observant. No, that's not nosy. Let me say this before we go to break. I was going to read another question, but I can't find it.
You can paint a house pink. It's still a house.
Let me clarify something for Will. I am not nosy at all. Listen, it's like gossip information, and it's a lot of stuff that I retain that I don't care about. And it's people that I know in real life information I don't care about. Like, I completely, no, I'm not being funny. Like, I'm being serious. Like, I don't care nothing about, unless I ask somebody.
Oh.
Do you think it's funny? Unless I ask you a personal question, I honestly don't care. And I try to be funny. He over here cracking up. I'm not being funny at all. Most of the time, I don't care about what people got going on. So if I don't ask you a personal question, I don't care.
Yeah, honestly. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm being honest. Most of the time, I don't care. Like, if I know you personally, if I don't ask you a personal question, I don't care. And if I ask you a personal question, I care.
Oh, God. This is funny.
So if you don't know, I'm going to introduce Will, get off the mic. You know what we're going to do right here? And Will can calm himself down so I can introduce his segment before we go to break. All right, like I said before, Will has a new segment, a political segment on, and we decided to call this 6 minutes of the Savvy Report, aka 6 minutes of rage with Will Boogie. And what we're going to do right here, we're going to go to break and hit y'all with these birthday appreciation songs from Rahsaan Patterson. We celebrate Mary J. Blige and Rahsaan Patterson all show. So Will, you cue us in the break. We'll be back with the political report.
Yeah.
my goodness. That's so good. That's so good. Sean Patterson and Spend the Night. Oh my good. Hey, that is too good. You know what? I have to apologize because I interrupted Crazy, because we'll come back to that later on, Q-Lin, if you want to. Hey, the floor is yours tonight. What a fabulous show. Welcome, everyone. Soul Savinus, EB, Q-Lin Green. Hey, 2018, I'm telling you, it's a blast. If you guys aren't listening to the Soul Savinus show, you are missing a treat. Download IMG2 on your app. It's free. Okay, while Q-Lin is doing her thing in the background. I think she's getting ready for the karaoke showdown. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Q-Lin.
Hey,
babe. No. You sounded good. You're in your groove. So I think you're getting down and getting ready for the karaoke countdown that's coming on here on the Soul Savvy Show. And I will, will participate. EB, are you singing? Are you participating, in the karaoke?
Oh, you
want to
do the karaoke instead of your segment? You want to do that?
EB, what do you mean? What do you want to do? We're going to do this. I just want to know if EB is going to participate.
Of course, yeah, I'm there.
Oh, okay. Well, sure.
Why not?
And I'm sure we'll have a lot of hosts anywhere across the universe and around the world. Hey, speaking of singing, hey, Q-Lin, hey, I need you to do this because you know you like to talk a whole lot, right? Okay, all right.
Talk a whole lot.
Yes, and that's a good thing. You're supposed to.
Go ahead.
A journalist of your stature who does not talk is a journalist that's out of a job. So take that as a compliment.
Okay, I take it as a compliment. Go
Thank
ahead,
you.
What you're saying. You know, I got ADD, so you gotta stay on point.
I am going to get on point if you let me stay on point if you stop interrupting.
Go ahead.
You sound like 45.
I'm just saying, can we go ahead with what you said?
Of course, I think you can comprehend. I was giving you Q-Lin a compliment. So take a deep breath, okay?
I'm interested in what you're saying.
Okay. Anyway, great music. Great music. Great stuff coming up. Let me do something right now, real quick. I just want to say thank you so much, and I want to say hello to our listening audience across the universe and around the world, and the Q-Lin Green, EB, Soul Savvy Show. So, I just want you to say, what's up next?
What's up next? It wasn't your segment. Is you ready?
Because of your request, I had my song and everything ready, so you're going to have to give me a few seconds for that.
What we're going to do, I'm going to ask, I forgot to ask EB about this.
Thank you.
He's getting ready to queue up his segment. I'm going to ask EB. I randomly stumbled across this when I was getting back on social media, when I was trying to recover my soul from out of the toilet. I was on social media, and when I got my electrolytes back, everything working, I looked on Twitter first. I always look on Twitter first. On social media, and I looked on there, and it was telling me what I missed since I've been gone, and I see one of my favorite singers had tweeted and got complimented by one of my favorite singers of all time, the legend Angela Wimbush, and I was so I was seething with jealousy because I was like, what the hell? I was like, yo, that's my favorite singer of all fucking time. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, that's my favorite singer. And she enjoyed you do so many Twitter threads. It's hard for me to keep up with it. While I get on there,
I know.
You were talking about Misha Hilton, and then you started tweeting about something else, and I was like, I can't keep up. I mean, My AD is going all over the place looking at, he's going at ED for Prez, and his Twitter is be popping, cause he'd be on one subject 1 hour, and the next hour I look at it, he's talking about a whole different thing, and he got like 20 tweets on his Twitter. I'm like, God
EB's a bad man.
Shout out to EB for getting props from the legend, Angela Wimbley, cause I was definitely jealous of that.
EB, and this is for you.
Yeah, he deserves all those claps. But he also fashion designer, you know, affiliated with Bad Boy affiliate, you know, all that stuff. He got complimented from his family of Misa Hilton.
EB was
a fashion designer. He put a little Twitter thread on there, and he got his pops from that. So he getting all of his tweets and pops during the break.
EB,
all kind of stuff.
EB, you have to cut your EB. We have to talk. You have to cut your homies in. You know, me and Q Man. We need to start talking here, man. I'm serious. Okay.
Right.
No, congratulations to you. Hey, you know, we are so proud of you, EB, and anything that I see that you put out, because I know you put out good, high quality, products, merchandise, thoughts, whatever it is. And so I am only too happy to share anything that you put out, and we do that from the buzz, and we love you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, he also, the Jet Jams was popping this week too. I looked at that on the thing. I was going to listen to a playlist. It was my lullaby the other night.
Y'all like that today.
Yeah. It was, who, you said Shaka liked it?
Yeah, I was like, I woke up and it was like Shaka.
Oh man. You know, hey, Q-Lynn.
Man, I almost cussed.
Q-Lynn.
Anyway, you
Q-Lynn. Q-Lynn. EB's been holding back. Q-Lynn, yeah. EB's been holding back.
Listen, EB for Prez, like I said before, is for the sucker free.
That's right.
If you ain't knowing, you're going to get lost.
Okay, so
EB for Prez is for the sucker free. And he's popping out of
EB, you're not getting away. You are part of this family. Studio W, Soul Savages, Q-Lynn Green, we know where you live.
Okay, we talking about giving EB his props. That is amazing.
That is incredible.
Everything he had going on is amazing. I just love, like, sometimes I'll tweet at it, but then I just be really soaking in all the knowledge, because some of the stuff I don't know, some of the stuff he posted about, I don't know about, like that one with that I mentioned before. About that Motown group, I didn't know about that group.
Oh yeah,
I read the article on his page, and I just sometimes on Twitter I just like and retweet it, and I just look at the his comments about it, and I just admire it from afar. But man, EB's out here popping, like I said, for sucker free. If you ain't paying attention, then you lost out here, and you gotta get some quality in your life. And EB for Prez is for quality and for sucker free.
Absolutely.
But what I want to get to is Will.
The rage.
Keep popping in. Is you ready with your segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me get your introduction in right so we can get this off right. I'm going to try to get the sound bites in there. We're going to go like 6 minutes. 6 minutes. We'll boogie your own. We're going to try to get that sound bite in there.
That's
right.
You
got a 6 minute segment of Political Savvy Report, aka Will's 6 minutes of rage.
That's right. Minutes of rage.
Go
and
ahead.
You know,
we're
Q-Lin.
Introducing this new segment, so go ahead, Will.
Yes, that's right, Q-Lin.
There we go.
Oh, we got it going on here. Soul Savage Show, 6 minutes of rage with Will. Hey, check it out every Monday night, because I am outraged and you should be outraged. And this is why we do this thing. Some of us don't pay attention. Okay, you go home. Oh, okay. You go to work and that's it. But don't you know and don't you care about your check? Oh, let's start with what's happening on the political page right now. Write this down. And we normally don't use this language on the station, but shithole. Wow. This came from your president of the United States. Oh, he doesn't want some countries in. He wants some countries out. Oh my goodness. We'll get back to that in a second. Oh, what about the Russian investigation? You know, I don't know whether it's about you or about me, but there seems to be a smoke screen that's going on here in this country and nobody's even talking about it. Oh, and perhaps you got a great tax bill. Hey, did you see that on your paycheck? How about Christmas time? Were you able to spend that money? Oh, is that a farce? Oh, we'll talk about it too. How about DACA? DACA, and of course, a lot of us don't know what DACA is. DACA is, they're talking about importing or exporting, not importing, but exporting or getting rid of 800,000 people who are citizens in the United States who have nothing been but progressive. Hmm. Your healthcare laws, have you thought about that? Hmm. You know, if you didn't notice today, it was your president of the United States. He was signing a declaration, and it was about the Martin Luther King. And, you know, and he signed a declaration towards some monument regarding that. But, folks, I am outraged because, you know what? I don't know what's happening here in America. Are we are dumb or are we stupid? You know, we don't pay attention. We only pay attention to what's going on in our own circles. But if you don't understand, if you don't understand what's going on, there will never be a change. And so how do we do that? You talk about voting and most people don't vote. They do not vote. And he says, oh, my vote is wasted. You know what? This is how things have happened. If you haven't remembered, coming up this Monday, most people are going to be celebrating Martin Luther King and his holiday and his birthday. And what did he fight for? And you, if you don't go out and vote, you are slapping him in his face. There are things that are coming up that we really need to talk about and nobody's paying attention. Come on, people. And if you don't think things matter, and look at Alabama recently where they were able to turn back that racist Judge Moore, okay? Because people, and especially black people, came out and voted. So if you don't think your vote counted, then you have to remember the people that died before you that did not have a choice. And they felt that we have to fight. And if you don't vote, you are insulting them. Come out and vote. You can make a difference, and we need to do that. I don't care if you don't understand what goes on. It doesn't only happen in every 4 years when there is a president. You know, that doesn't happen then. It happens in your local elections. Get out. Just like you went out and bought that Christmas tree. All right. How many hours did you spend doing that? When you bought out and bought that pumpkin to celebrate Halloween, but we get into that. That's a whole different story. All right. You have to talk about these things here. So you have to get out. I only have a few minutes left to go and I'm going to spend it hopefully. Then you have to understand what's going on here. And I mentioned that word shithole. The president of the United States referred to the African countries as shithole nations. It is causing an uproar here in the United States and across America and around the universe. Okay, then we can't ignore there is a Russian investigation. Where's their collusion? Now, most of us don't even pay attention to these things that I'm about to bring to the forefront here. But I only have 6 minutes of rage and I'm going to talk about this. There is a tax bill that was proposed to you. Okay, did that really help you or did that help the upper one quarter of 1% of the wealthy in this country and around the world? You have to understand what's going on. There was a health care bill that was going on, and did anybody pay attention? Well, you have over 13 million people that could lose their health care if what goes on that continues here. I only have a few seconds here to go. The only thing I said, there's so much of rage here. This is 6 months of rage. Thank you so much for giving me your time. My goodness. Bye. Q-Lan.
6 minutes, Ducky Fresh, you're on. Will Boogie was on.
Hey, Q-Lan, I don't know what happens, and baby, but I just got in as much as I could. I did the best I could here, but I am outraged.
Raid, 6 minutes of Raid. That's what it was. We hit y'all with new political savvy report, aka 6 minutes of Raid with Will. He was lightweight on this one. He didn't get in. He gonna get in. I'm pretty sure the news that's coming out every week. I feel like next week he's gonna give it to him. He's gonna really rant and rave. He's gonna give y'all 10 minutes. I was really hoping you was gonna go over so I can hit you with that Jeopardy music, but you was right on point with this one.
You know,
so you need to get your automated clap together. We gotta give Will a round of applause for that, because that was amazing. This new segment, you did amazing.
Oh yeah,
got the music, we had all that. We giving these claps. Put the automated claps on, Will. So you can give yourself a round of applause. That was amazing. There we go.
Q-Lynn, that was only a tidbit. It was a tidbit. You said 6 minutes. Thank you so much for letting me back on your show. I just want you to know.
Yeah, back on the show. And all this comes with, I didn't tell you the terms and the conditions of this. This segment will appear as long as you want to, as long as you don't interfere with these Michael Jackson Caucasian songs. No disrespect to Prince happens. No disrespect on any, if you disrespect Prince on any parts of these shows. These are the terms and conditions of this segment.
EB.
And when Michael Jackson hits a play during the show to interrupt it, you don't hit us with that Emmy music,
May I speak to EB? Okay, EB, you can't let this happen.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
No, he's allowed. EB, you agree with my terms and conditions, don't you? We partners in this. Do you agree with these terms and conditions?
EB.
See, there we go. We both partners in this agreement, in these terms, in these conditions. So these are the terms and conditions of the segment. If you break any of these terms and conditions, your segment is going to be withheld for 2 weeks. If you violate any of these terms and conditions, your segment is going to be on hold for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So the disrespect to Prince. Let me go over the rules. Let me go over the terms and conditions again so you ain't confused. Rule number one, this is the most important one. I should have said this one first from the beginning. No disrespect to Prince will prosper on this show from you. You will not disrespect Prince on this show. And second, you will not interrupt us by playing Michael Jackson. And you will not hit us with that Emmy music. Those are the terms and conditions. And if you got a drink, and this is an added bonus, if you have to drink your Pinot Grigio, wait for the Braxton's Back show after this show is over with. Those are the four. You can take a little sip of Pinot, but you can't have the whole bottle, the whole show. You can have a glass of Pinot. You can have your break after your segment. These are the terms and conditions. You can have Pinot Grigio after your segment, but then after, these are the terms. If you violate any of these terms on here, your show will be suspended for 2 weeks. Your segment of the show will be suspended for 2 weeks.
This is the funniest thing I ever heard in my damn life. Oh, it sounds like 45 and Vladimir Putin.
These are easy terms to conclude by. And if you violate any of these terms, you're not going to have a segment for the week. It's that simple.
Oh, my God.
It's that simple.
I'm holding my side.
What we're going to do right now is go to break. Hit us with those songs. We give it, like I said before, we give appreciation to Mary J. Blige.
Hold on one second.
And Rashad Patterson all show. So, Will, hit us with that back-to-back and give us birthday appreciation.
Wait a minute, hold it. You had to... hold it. You can't keep it continue to do this. Okay. You need to let EB speak on the things in your terms and conditions. And I think that I have a right to say
that. He said he agreed. So
I didn't hear.
He's trying to ignore what he's partnered with me on this. He's agreed with
you. I didn't hear EB say anything.
EB, tell him once again, since he didn't hear you, tell him again what the terms are so we can go to break again.
You haven't been beat down. You haven't been whipped, have you? Okay, by Q Lynn. Okay, so
he's the boss.
Oh.
Listen, EB is his own man. He ain't taking orders from me.
Okay.
EB, give your opinion. That ain't my opinion. Go ahead and tell him one more time.
Uh-huh.
I think the terms are that you have to buy the co-host a bottle of Bullet every week. And we should have more Aretha Franklin on this show.
and more Michael Jackson.
Hilarious. Oh, my God. That's his terms. When you gonna buy, you gonna give him some Square Cash? All you gotta do is send him the Square Cash. Send him $10 every new Square Cash app.
That's all I need.
You got that, Will.
What's that? No. I know something I missed here. Because, and then when, hold it. I'm trying to understand terms and conditions. Because Q Lynn, let me just share something. The way you have drawn up, and I understand, this is your show, and there's no question about this at all. We've already come to the terms and conditions about that. I love your show, I think. But you know what? You're becoming more of a dictator. It's almost like...
I don't understand where you're getting the correlation of a dictator. I'm not understanding. It's not computing in my
Well, most dictators don't understand. Most dictators don't understand. And this is why I'm here to help you. Okay.
Well,
now Jesus, Studio
that
W...
was one of the terms and conditions. That's it.
What?
Listen. You have your own prerogative to do what you want to do. But I'm just saying, if you choose to ignore these terms and conditions, the latter will happen. You have your own segmented show. All you got to do is abide by the terms and conditions, and this is it.
I mean,
listen, I'm not fooling with you no more. We about to run out of time. We got like two more segments we got to do. Hit us with them back. Hit us with them songs. Okay.
Yeah,
we give it
Joe, Studio W. Oh, EB. Q Lynn Green. Wow. Hey, we're winding down, but we have a few more minutes, and what a great show.
Man, we're going to do this real quickly, go through Raggedy People's Avenues, because I didn't realize how much time we had. How much time did you say we had?
Hey.
What we going to?
You got 20 minutes. How about that?
20 minutes. What is that?
7:20, 7:30. 7:30. Okay. Yeah. EB, you see how she does?
I'm
you
just
see what
asking.
She does to me?
I'm trying to
hey,
see.
Sweetheart. Okay. Q Lynn Green, just for you. Because you are fabulous. You are the queen of soul savviness information across the globe. So you have until 7:30 here on the PST, 9:30 Central Standard Time, 10:30. Yes.
I think because I was just trying to fit in that last song, and this the topic we have tonight is going to be talking about culture appreciation versus appropriation, and I was wanting need to know. I just need
let me interrupt.
So,
Adrian Braxton, she's a grandmother, and so her show we're going to do a replay tonight, and that's why you can go to until about 7:30. So let's congratulate her, okay?
Congrats to Adrian having a guy. I didn't even know she's old enough to have a grandbaby, but she looked younger. She looked real young. I didn't even know she was old enough to have it, but she probably is. So I'm like, black don't crack.
Hey, look here. I'm telling you, Adrian Braxton, hey, a.k.a. Brown Sugar. Hey, baby. Hey, this is for you.
Round of applause. New life for the new life, new baby, new...
Just
grandbaby.
Right.
All right. 2018. So, congrats to Adrian on being a grandmother.
And the newest member of this Studio W family.
Yes, a member of Studio W Buzz family. She has her own show that usually comes on after this show, but Will said he's going to do a replay of Braxton's Back. Y'all can tune in. That show will come on after this one if you're tuning in live from the IMG2 app or StudioW.Buzz. You can listen to that show. I guess playback of Braxton Back after this show is concluded. So shout out to Adrian out here taking care of grandbabies and all that stuff. That sounds exciting and stressful. But she probably don't have to do that much because she's a grandmother. So it probably – but, yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Catrice, too. I got to get them on the show.
I keep forgetting to ask them. I'm going to try to get them on one show. We were trying to get Catrice on one show, but she out here doing her motherly duties out here as well. So shout-outs to both of them. We're going to try to get to it. Catrice is on the show. She had played the What's Wrong With You game, EB. I think she won. No, Will beat her. Because I had her, Catrice and Will going against each other on the What's Wrong With You game, and Will actually beat her. So that's why I understand why you said the game was rigged, because he beat Catrice in the game. But that's a whole other subject. So we're going to move on to Ragged People and Savvy News before we run out of time. And like I said, if Will hits us with the inner music, that is going to be a violation to the terms and conditions of this agreement with this segment, sir. So I'm going to try to stay on track, Will. So don't hit us with that music.
Let's do it like this. Let's just do the Savvy and okay. The Raggedy People news, and then we'll move the topic to next week.
Oh, man. Because
I
really
want to get into that topic.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was wondering. Okay, we can do that. You can start it off. The whatever you want to do, Raggedy People. I guess we always do the Raggedy People first. You can go ahead.
Yeah, so this week in Raggedy People news, not raggedy, we got Nipsey Hussle. I don't even know. Apparently Nipsey Hussle is a rapper. He's an underground following. I had no idea who he was. I'm pretty sure I've worked with some promoters who have promoted his shows before, but I couldn't tell you one of his songs or anything. But I guess it's a bigger issue than just Nipsey Hussle. So basically what happened this week was Nipsey Hussle was on Instagram, and there was a photo of, I'm not sure where the photo was from, but there were a bunch of black men and boys of various ages all in suits. And his comment was alluding to basically he's a homophobe. And he was saying that these are the types of images we need to see, you know, our men being men and not the emasculation of the black man and feminine men or gay men. He made, number one, the assumption that every man in this picture was a heterosexual man, and two, that there was somehow something wrong with being homosexual. And he seemed to focus a lot on these are the positive types of images that we need to see of our men. And then I saw a picture of Nipsey Hussle, and I was confused because he's not the type of positive image that I want to see, or I want my children or their children to see. I don't want, you know, someone like him being, you know, the prototype for the positive image of a black man, quote unquote, because he seems far from that. And it kind of snowballed from there, where T.I. even made a comment, of something related to the same thing, you know, a homophobic comment. And once again, T.I., not the type of positive role model that I want to see. T.I. has been arrested how many times? T.I. has cheated on his wife. T.I. has been involved in drugs and guns. I mean, I just want to know how, you know, a homosexual black male is a negative role model, but someone who's involved in drugs and guns and violence and misogyny, they are the prototype or a positive model of a black male. So that's why Nipsey gets Raggedy People news. So does T.I. A lot of the hip hop community, actually, y'all raggedy.
Every single one of them are raggedy. Yeah, and it's, once again, it starts these conversations. I hate when these things happen and, you know, it becomes a big news, because then it becomes all these whole tip niggas get on the internet and start saying the black woman, the black queen, and black king, and all this other shit. I hate that. Every part of that, I hate it, because it's all disingenuous. None of y'all aspire to that. Y'all just saying it because it's a trend on the internet, and it's just always weird. And then I hate when these conversations start, because then everybody's homophobia starts up, and then it's like just casually. It's just people just be like casually homophobic and don't think it's homophobic. And I'm like, I just get tired of haven't. None of the people I follow do that. Most of them can distinguish between that and know what it is, and they're not disrespectful. It's mostly the other people that I follow. Their followers are like hella disrespectful, and I see them get on there, and they'll have like a whole like conversation going, talking about, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it, and all this stuff. And then when you try to like specify what that is, what they're saying, that, hey, you're sounding, why do you care so much? And then that's when they start backpedaling and then start using family as,
right,
black family,
right,
as,
right,
their,
right,
reasoning. But yeah,
you
know, start saying that, but
EB, can I say something?
Well, I was trying to finish my thought real quick.
I understand. We know you're dyslexic, but it's okay. All right. But anyway. I'm just teasing you because you're onto something. I was thinking about something earlier today. And it was earlier this morning. It says, when did somebody bring back the blame game? Everybody else want to blame somebody else for their own shit. And I know that how we try to use and we curtail language we use on the show, but it comes down to some points you just get frustrated. Hey, when are you going to start taking responsibility for your own stuff that you've done? You know, everybody want to blame everything else. And if you look, I'm not going back to my 6 minutes of rage, but one thing that infuriates me is that the president of the United States here, he blames everybody else for his problems. He blames, and I'm not, we get into that next week, but anyway, but everybody wants to play the blame.
Yeah, that goes into 6 minutes of rage, and we only got about 13 minutes, so if we can conclude.
Well, you know, guess what? Since I control the board here, since I control the board, I can give you another 60 seconds, so don't even play that game with me. But the point that I'm getting at
go ahead.
I know that, okay. But the point I'm getting at, on yours and EB's point, if we start looking at our own stuff, and we get our own act right, you know, then we can talk right. But you can't start talking right if you're not right yourself. I mean, so, shucks, man. I know there are people out here that do things to you, that hurt you, deceive you, cheat you, lie to you, and whatever it is. But a lot of our own problems come because we don't even take care of our own garbage.
Yeah, but it's a specific thing that I'm talking about. That's good what you're saying, but what I'm saying is specific to the people with the thoughts and a perspective that leads to people doing dangerous stuff in terms of specifically with the homosexual community. That people that think like this, they don't understand like that thought process is dangerous because it's people that take criminal acts on in terms of not, if they hate gays or whatever they're feeling towards it, whatever the feeling is, they'll use that to that thought process to try to kill somebody in those communities. That's my point.
Yeah, but how is that different from what I'm saying? Q-Lan, you have to understand also what a lot of people understand. A lot of people who commit acts against homosexual people are homosexual themselves, and they're denying who they are.
Right. But
I heard everything that you're saying.
Okay. What I was going to say was, in terms of that, when I look online, it's just like really disgusting looking at it because it's like just casual like homophobic slurs and all this stuff being said, and nobody holds, and specifically heterosexual people don't hold, it's not enough heterosexual people holding other heterosexual people involved, because it's easy for somebody in the LGBT community to say, hey, you're acting like this, but it's another when you can hold, when straight people need to hold other straight people accountable. Just like what we said with the whole Black Lives Matter and white people. I don't really like using the word allies, but it's the same thought process of that white people need to hold their people accountable, and it's the same thing with straight people need to hold other straight people accountable. And I try to do that as often as I can when I see these conversations happening. I try not to ignore it. I know it's easy to ignore that because I don't want to, like, it just really blows my mind, like, how, like, people just have these, like, really hateful views of people they don't know just because they don't understand anything beyond that, because they try to group it in with religion and what that means, whatever it is that they're trying to pinpoint into being religious isn't religious at all, and what they try to hold and value isn't what they're practicing. And so I just have an issue with straight people allowing these kind of conversations to happen. And it's not necessarily being trying to be politically correct, like, oh, you can't say nothing. I'm not coming from that point of view. I'm saying that you have no personal interest in this. It's just more so of what you think something should be just because something was taught to you that you don't understand. That's where you get your thought process from. And you're not coming from a place of love. You're coming from judgment. I know we use that word a lot, but it is mostly judgment against people you don't understand. And who says the black family, just to get back into the topic of what his post said, because I read it, who says that black family, when you say that, you're specific to just a man and a woman, but there's many diverse groups of black families. Like, what kind of black family talk about? Are you promoting, if you were at Nipsey Hussle, are you promoting two gay black men, interracial gay love? Are you talking about, you know, a trans person, a transsexual, or, all different, it's different kinds of black love, lesbian couples. What do you mean when you say black love? It's all diversity in there, but it's more pinpoint. When they say these things, they're pinpointing black man, black woman, but it's all these different patriarchal, misogynist, sexist views, even within that entity of what they feel black love is. So it's all misguided, and it's not honest truths happening, because if you were asked directly what they mean by that, it's just the conversation just goes to them backpedaling and them feeling like I got to be politically correct, or it's the media's agenda to promote gay lifestyle, and they say that's a lifestyle. I respect their lifestyle, but I don't agree. Like, is it just interesting how people, like, that's their go-to, but we'll move on from that. What other Raggy People news we have? Because I want to, yeah, he's definitely the Raggy People news. Him, T.I., all them. So, what other Raggy People news we got?
Well, who were you talking about earlier that was raggedy? What were we talking about yesterday?
I'm trying to think. I forgot that fast. I think I had it written down and I forgot. We're not putting him in, I'm trying to think. I just forgot that fast. It was Nipsey Hussle, and I just forgot that fast. Oh, H&M. It was flipping my mind.
Yes.
H&M. I know people interpreted it differently. I know the mother had posted something. I think it was verified that it was the mother that made a post, and she said that it wasn't a big... She's not from the United States. I think then they say she was from... I don't want to get the country wrong, but she's not from here. I'll just say that. Do you know what country she's from, EB?
I don't know the specific country, no.
I know she's not from America, so her point of view, which I can get, because they don't take racism, because they have, like, overt and covert racism overseas, but they interpret it differently from the American point of view. I'll just say that, to me, is this too much of a coincidence? I remember a talk show host, I can't remember who it was, they said it's too much of a coincidence of these companies doing this for it to just be, and I think just the answer, to me, if you agree with it, that they need to have, like, a diverse group of, you know, people in those rooms that, like, before it even gets approved, like, somebody has to be in there and be like, yo, this isn't cool, like, people are going to have an issue with it, especially in this climate where everything is so, like any little thing, people are, like, making it news, you know, whether if it's, you know, I think just if you look at individually, you can pinpoint and say, hey, this is, their intention was this or that or whatever. Sometimes it's not a big deal, but this one, I'm kind of on the fence on, I don't know how to feel. I just say that they just need to do a better job of getting more diversity in the workplaces in terms of these ads and stuff that they approve. But what's your viewpoint on it? That's all what I have to say on it.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback on what you just said, what I want a lot of these companies to realize is it's time to diversify the boardrooms. It's time to diversify your ad teams. because I think if you had different people of different races, different ages, different genders, different sexual orientations in these boardrooms, things like this would not happen. But on the flip side of that, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I told her that if I was out and I saw this hoodie, I would have bought the hoodie for my nephew. Like, I wouldn't have thought twice. I would not have made the connection,
right.
Oh, monkey black. And I get that it's something that has plagued black people forever. You know, we have constantly been compared to monkey, to less than human, to animals. And I get it. It's hurtful. But a friend of the show, Shaka, was saying, it's time to let some of that hurt go. Are we forever
right.
going to shy away from anything dealing with monkeys because white people have compared us to monkeys? He compared it to, like, the fried chicken and watermelon thing. Are we still not going to eat fried chicken and eat watermelon in front of white people because that is the stereotype? No. I mean, I would not have, if I saw that, my first thought would not have been, oh, that's racist. I would have been like, oh, that's cute. You know, kids like stuff like that, monkeys and tigers and whatever. I wouldn't have thought that, but I do see how some were offended. I think that, you know, the internet blows everything up, and a lot of that was people being offended because their favorite person was offended, or because they felt like they needed to be offended, or because they were told to be offended. I think a lot of people probably thought like me. They saw it and didn't think twice. But once, you know, that the right person calls them out on it, then everybody jumps on that bandwagon. That groupthink that Erykah Badu talks about is real. Groupthink is real.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I was like, this ain't a big deal. But then when I saw that they had like a kid that had a coolest king in the world that wasn't black.
Right,
that,
the white kid.
I was
yeah.
like, I was like, oh shit, this is racist, because that's not cool. I don't know if it was just, it could, I guess the other point of view, you could be like, oh, they're sampling different shirts, so I don't know. But my instinct was like, oh, this is hella racist, but I can get how you can like interpret it different ways. I would have suggested if you were going to go with that thought process in terms of creating that ad, then you should have had multiple different versions of ethnicities in there to not make that correlation of it being racist. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, have like a white kid, Asian kid, Hispanic kid, all these different races in there different ethnicities and nationalities in there to not like, you know, not like appear racist. You know what I mean? Just like with that one ad, like if they would have changed the order of, you know, that, what was it, the Dove commercial? If they would have changed
the
order, nobody would have made a big deal about it. But again,
this goes back to what
right.
you were saying. When we diversify these boardrooms, diversify these ad rooms, these companies, then it stops stupid things like that from happening. The ad
right.
would come out. Because somebody, black mama, black sister, black uncle, black dad, would have stood up and been like, nah, you know, that's not going to go over well with the public. And that could have squashed
right.
that whole thing before it even began.
Right, exactly. I agree 100%. Savvy News, we try to run through this really quickly before we get off air.
Q-Lin, I'll give you guys an extra 3 or 4 minutes, but can I just kind of chime in on what's been said? Because what you are saying is so important. What you and EB are saying is so important. And it's about programming. The shows that we watch, there's a reason. Why can you turn on, before there was cable TV, you could turn on TV, you could watch TV for free. But you had to watch some commercials, right? And it's designed to be called a program to want you to watch and buy and listen to whatever these people are paying for. Somebody has to pay for that. So you have to understand what's going on. It's all about money. Okay. How are you
right.
being programmed? And then you have to understand behind the scenes who's buying and paying for the ads. Who's buying and paying for the ads? You have to understand that. So they can buy and sell and make money, and then also put out a message that could be, devastating to the community, and we don't understand this because we think we're buying a product, but we also buying an ideal. So anyway, I'm going to leave that with you.
Right.
EB, close it out. It's been a fascinating show. I've enjoyed it. So anyway, just want to leave you with that.
Yeah. We try to finish with the savvy news real quick. If we get those 4 minutes, because I wasn't trying to go in that long on that. But, yeah, go ahead, EB, with the savvy news.
Savvy news, of course, we had the Golden Globe Sterling Brown Tacoma Award for This Is Us. Actually, I think they said the first black man to win for lead actor in a drama series. So congratulations to him. Oprah had an amazing speech, and I believe other people who were nominated were Issa Rae. Mary J. Blige, of course, was nominated for her role in Meg in Mudbound. Everyone looked great in their all black to protest the sexual abuse and the sexual politics in Hollywood. I'm trying to think of what else was savvy that happened this week. I feel like I had so much, but now I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, shout out to the people, the winners at the Golden Globes. I was trying to get all the names. I lost my list, but yeah, all those people you mentioned, shout out to them. Oprah's speech was amazing.
Yeah.
What else? Oh yeah, shout out to Mary J. Blige. Happy belated to her. Her birthday was yesterday.
And she got the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, on her birthday. That was amazing. Yeah, shout out to the queen, the legend. What's going on?
Okay, question. Do you think Oprah should run for president? This is to you, Q-Lynn and EB. Should Oprah run for president?
No.
My answer is no.
Mine is too.
Mine is yes. And she would win.
She probably would, but yeah.
I think yes.
Win, but she'll need to be.
Okay, but hold it. Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm going to throw a monkey out. No, oh my God, nothing. Okay. Keep Donald Trump. Okay. Keep Donald Trump or Oprah Winfrey now.
I mean, we get that, Will. We're not saying that. We're just saying people, I think the thought of Oprah being president. Oh, go ahead,
Edie. No, all I'm saying is I am tired of celebrities in the White House. I don't think we need to have any more. And I think, you know, people love Oprah, and I get it, and she would be, you know, she would totally win. But there are so many more qualified black politicians right now who are in Congress, who are lawyers, who would make better presidents. And I think our automatic thought is to put, you know, Oprah there because, you know, she could beat Donald Trump and she would be an amazing president. But there are people who devote their lives to politics and to changing the world and making America a better place and, you know, facilitating laws. And I think that those are the people that we should put into the White House. I think we should put Oprah maybe at the head of a major television network.
Right.
I mean, she has owned, but maybe let her buy NBC like Bill Cosby is trying to do, or, you know, give her BET or something. But as far as politics, I don't want that for her. And another thing is, I don't think that America deserves that right now. I don't think they deserve Oprah. And I don't think Oprah deserves that mess.
Well, you know what?
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. I can't agree with that. You know, we'll take this up a little bit later on, but I have to disagree with one thing. If she wants to run, yes. If she doesn't, I don't think she'd be, somebody needs to force her to do so, but I think she would win. And I believe that, you're right. There are more qualified people, that have been struggling their entire lives to get to that point. But could they win? Oprah could win, and she is intelligent enough and smart enough, and I think that she would make the right ideas. And so we're going to have to disagree on this one, my friend, but that's just my take. I thought I'd throw it in. That's my opinion. I said yes. If she wants to do it, you doggone right. We just have to go on and make sure she gets in there.
Yeah, I think we got two more
These are my stab news. I don't know if, what else EB has. I was trying to hurry up and conclude before we get off. Did you watch? Oh, well, you want to do Dave Chappelle first, or you want to do the Queen's Court?
I did not see Dave Chappelle, but I did see the Queen's Court. I watch the Queen's Court every week. I love.
Okay, we can start with that one.
Kaya and T.S. Madison together. I think they're hilarious. I love how they interact with each other, but then I love how interactive they are with their audience. So I love it.
That shit is fucking ratchet and raggedy, and I love it all at the same time. I told you I didn't know what to call that, raggedy news or savvy news, but it's definitely savvy news.
Right.
Cause I can't stop watching it because it's hilarious. Like, it's like a whole mess, but I like really enjoy it. We already knew Kaya since what my neck, my back. That as soon as the song starts, it's already inappropriate. Like, she made a hood known song that starts off inappropriate. So we should already. She's always been controversial though. Randomly, she's always been like saying stuff on Twitter about people, so this is right up her alley. I think with T.S., I think I saw one Facebook video she had did, and I just started watching her videos, and she would just go live, and I started watching it. I think that was like earlier last year I was watching them, and then I just stopped. I don't know if I'm following her or not on her Facebook. I gotta go back and see if I can add it on there, but when I saw, it was, I was just randomly looking online, and I saw that holiday show they did, and I was like, what the fuck? And they had all these, like, gag gifts of the people they were talking about, and when she pulled out that they'll drug test for Wendy Williams, I was like, what the fuck? And she has, like, a whole name. What's the name she said of Wendy Williams? What was the name? She said Wendy Wendell Orenthal. What was the name?
Yeah, she had like four or five different names.
Oh my god, it's like Wendy Wendell Orenthal Clyde, that's what it is. I forgot. Clyde Williams. I think that's the whole name. Like, this is hilarious. But yeah. I thought that show was hilarious. I just called T.S. Madison and her rowdy inappropriate friend. Cause, she's a hot mess. Throughout the whole show. The last one is Dave Chappelle. We're going to wrap this up because I'm getting lightheaded from sitting up here all day. My back is, this back brace is kind of a little tight, so I'm trying to get up out of it. So with Dave Chappelle,
are
you going to watch it this week or do you want to wait until next week and do Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it because I think I started watching it, but I wasn't giving it my full attention. I was doing everything.
Okay, we'll wait. So we'll wait till. Okay, we'll wait till next week, and then we'll conclude with next week's topic. We talk about cultural. We didn't get to talk about it this week, but next week we're doing cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation. And, yeah, it should be good. Y'all keep tuning in Soul Savage Radio. We're trying to extend a little bit. I'm trying to get a little more creative. We try to get better every show. So next week I got a lot of great things I'm adding to the show. And trying to get it all together. So hopefully y'all will love all the improvements. So we'll see y'all next week. Every week back next Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we out.
Now, baby, lately we worked all day. We